Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And now, the Instigators.
Broken up by Krejci. Krejci looks, gets it over the car, scores!
Hey, Andrew Peters, get your golf clubs out. You've got friends coming to visit.
Joe Bowen, so do you, buddy. Marty, if I had known that burned Bonesy for that many years, I would have been all over that golf swing.
I'll tell you this. I love Bonesy. He's fantastic. He's a great play-by-play guy, and he's quick-witted, and but that one where he hung on to for that long and then try to send a burn your way, PD, that...
It was against the Leafs, too. And here's the thing.
Well, okay,
it was
so
against
you
the Sabres, I should say.
You did the golf swing years and years ago.
Years and years. Because... 2005-06 season. So it was
because beating them basically was kicking them out of the
They were eliminated.
They were eliminated.
And we were pounding them.
But so what happened for Bonesy to come back at you again?
I think the night the Leafs won here in Buffalo, they mathematically eliminated the Sabres.
So it was last year.
It was last year.
Well, two years ago, whatever. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Not this past season.
The season before. So what was that? 2018. So we're talking 12 years. 12 years. That was a brewing. So, but I mean, I guess.
That's yeah. What makes it so much fun.
Well, we wouldn't be called the Instigators if we weren't instigating. So if you're listening on the radio, the boys in the back did a nice little montage. They put the Leaf Goal song on there with Charlie Coyle's Empty Netter, followed by Joe Bowen's call from last
I'll
year in Buffalo. Yep.
It is a great goal song. Hall & Oates, You Make My Dreams.
It is a great goal song. No question.
And I went to two of the games in Toronto this in the first round, doing some work up there. And it has, listening to the same song, goal song, for 41 home games, it may get old a little bit. But when you're in the building just once in a while and that song comes on, it has a great feel to it.
It gets old if you only hear it once a game for 41 games. But if you hear it like... 200 times a year at home, you're probably pretty
five times
happy.
A game. Yep.
Well, let's get into it. There are some pretty ticked off people up there in Toronto. I mean, the whole fan base is livid.
Are we starting with Toronto?
Well, we don't have to. I mean, we can put that one on pause because, as Jeff mentioned earlier this morning, Vegas is probably the bigger story. The Vegas and San Jose game is without question.
Okay, so again, I was in Toronto last night. Came back. Perfect time. And I'm in driving in the car. I'm listening to the Vegas radio station. And when Cody Eakin cross-checked Pavelski, you know, at first they're like, oh, that looks bad. And then they watch the replay and they're talking about how this should only be a minor penalty and how Eakin is getting kicked out of the game and receiving a 5-minute major for cross-checking. There's, 9 minutes left in the game at that point?
Maybe 10-something.
That was at 10:50-something. So, and how now they're going to a 5-minute power play, and it starts 10 seconds in, and then it keeps on going. And Gary Lawless, who worked in Winnipeg before and now is covering the Vegas Golden Knights, could not believe it. He said... This was not a 5-minute major, and it totally changes the way of the game. And most importantly, like, these are veteran referees. Eric Furlatt and Dan O'Halloran are veteran referees. They have seen those type of plays and those type of situation happen many times. The optics were just bad because Pavelski hit his head on the ice. You know, and then some people are saying that Stastny was really like the dirty one, that after Pavelski was off balance because of the push, cross-check push by Eakin, that Stastny body slammed him. No, there was nothing really bad. It's just the outcome of the situation that was bad.
You don't think what Cody Eakin did was bad?
I think it was bad. It was a penalty. It was a stupid penalty. You're up 3-0. You have a face-off in your zone. 10 minutes left in the third period. Are you cross-checking Joe Pavelski? That is stupid.
Why is he doing
but
that?
But it's a two-minute penalty.
I disagree. Not a 5 minute.
No, you agree. I know you agree.
No, Marty. You can ask. You can ask anyone in the back. I came in and I saw the penalty.
That's why I avoided you this morning.
I avoided you this morning because I even said to you, you made a comment. I go, yeah, it's a penalty, and I just didn't want to sit there and get into it with you because I thought I'd save it for our audience. This is a stationary version of what happened with Fogle and Oshie. You pushed a guy, he goes off balance. You had no reason to push him.
Let me finish. Let me finish.
Yeah. I said it the other day. There's no reason, number one, for him to cross-check him. I understand that hockey is an aggressive sport, but there's no reason for him to be that aggressive off of face-offs. There was one guy that came to my mind when I think about being aggressive off face-offs like that, and it's Eric Lindros. And he used to get penalized all the time for this stuff. He used to bull charge right off the face-off, opening of a game, and set the tone and burp, right to the penalty box. But the point I'm trying to make is that why is Cody Eakin doing this? Now, that's not worth a five-minute penalty in itself. But when you're pushing a player like Pavelski off balance and it causes him to hit his head on the ice. Fogle didn't mean to push Oshie into the boards and have him break his clavicle, but you know what? Where he pushed him and the vulnerability of being off balance and you're on skates. If he's on sneakers and this is lacrosse, he takes a two-step backwards and he's back and he's still on his feet. This results in his head hitting the ice. This is you need to protect players from doing this and this happening. So I absolutely agree with the five-minute penalty.
We're seeing the video.
He's bleeding out of his ear, for God's sake.
Petey, we're seeing the video right now on TV, and if you're listening on the radio, I'll tell you. Eric Furlatt, Dan O'Halloran, two veteran referees, how many of them have their hands up in the air? How many of them put their arm up in the air?
Well, that's their fault.
No, how many of them put their arms up in the air?
I didn't see.
None.
But that's not uncommon. The ref in Carolina the other night didn't put his arm up until Oshie went down and was folded.
But
like
that's because
in
real time, it didn't even look like a penalty. It looked like a push, a battle, a shove. The injury and the blood on the ice is like, oh, we got to talk about this. And so I like referees, and I really have always had good relationship with referees, and I think veteran referees do a great job. Now, this is two calls in two straight games for Dan O'Halloran that go the wrong way. Tuukka Rask getting interfered by Zach Hyman the other day when Matthew scored. That was game 5 in Toronto-Boston. That was Dan O'Halloran. He's reffed over 200 playoff games, I believe, over 1,400 regular season games. He's done 7 straight Stanley Cup finals between '06 and '13 or whatever. He's a veteran referee. He understands the game. Eric Furlatt's a veteran referee, but they completely missed that. And they always say, game 7 or playoffs, what do you want? The referees don't dictate how the game is being played. Like, be there to enforce the rules, but you should not have a major effect on the game. That was a major effect on the game.
So here's what I'll say. In real time, I'll agree with you on this. In real time, it does not look like a major penalty. It might not even look like a penalty to anyone. It might just look like a bad balance. But here's my point. I give the referees credit, and this is rare that I do this.
Credit for what?
Give them credit for anything. But I give them credit for actually when they – if a player does if they feel they could call a two-minute penalty on that cross-check, which they absolutely could have done, but the player ends up Cody Eakin did not intend for Joe Pavelski to end up in the position that he did, unconscious on the ice with his – I think his ear was bleeding. So – but if they make that five-minute call after the fact because of the result, I'm absolutely okay with it. And I wanted Vegas to win. Like, that's the thing. I wanted Vegas to win. So that's where their penalty kills got to step up. No one knew that San Jose was going to put up 4. But that didn't end the game. They ended up tying it up. They still went to overtime. My point is, Marty, is I, like everybody else, when I first saw it, I'm thinking, what's the call here? Then you see the five. Then you watch it again, and you think to yourself over and over and over and over again, like, isn't this the point of five-minute majors?
It's not. The point of five-minute major is...
There needs to be messages, too, that players, when they're lying on the ice... Come on. He hit his head on the ice.
But it's not because of the cross-check. And listen, this is not a
it's
full goal.
It's because of the cross-check that he hit his head on the ice,
It's not a full goal on T.J. Oshie, because full goal on T.J. Oshie is from behind. Oshie has no way of protecting him. Pavelski, taking the draw, sees Eakin right in front of him, sees the play happening, has...
It's no different than the slew foot the other night. That guy hits his head on the ice. If that guy hits his head on the ice...
A slew foot is a... You're just saying the penalties. You cannot see it coming.
I'm just comparing the end result.
This was in his face. That's the only thing I'm talking about. This is kind of like, you come to me, okay? I'm watching you come to me. You drop your gloves. I'm not moving. And you sucker punch me. And you've said it plenty of time. You see somebody come at you, protect yourself. This is the same thing. Pavelski has taken a million faceoffs in his career. He's been pushed out of the faceoff circle 100,000 times. He sees Eakin coming. These guys have battled all game. He knows that this is a possibility. It's not a sneaky play. It's not a dirty play. It's a battle play.
The end result, though, is when, and for me, it's the same thing. If a guy trips a guy back checking for the puck, it's just a trip. But if it's at the dot and he slides face first into the boards and breaks his jaw and he's knocked on,
it's unfortunate. You go on a breakaway.
It is unfortunate, but it's the end result. So, I mean, you know what? You get the five-minute penalty. Okay, I'm absolutely okay with it.
You go on a breakaway. I dive. I trip you. Okay, you fall. You get up. You get a penalty shot. I dive. I trip you. You slip and fall into the board. I don't get a five-minute major for tripping.
No, you shouldn't.
And I shouldn't. And Cody Eakin should not have gotten a five-minute for cross-checking. And that changes the game. College hockey has this rule where the referees can go to assess a five-minute major. The refs go into the penalty bench and look at the play because there's head hunting and there's head contact and there's cross check. There's hit from behind. There's so many things that happen so fast in real time that if you're going to give a 5 minute, you better be 100% sure that it is a 5 minute. And in this instance, if Dan O'Halloran and Eric Furlatt, the two referees, are given the opportunity to go to the penalty bench while Pavelski is laying on the ice and being attended to, it's not like it would slow the game down. They just go to the bench and get the iPad because the technology's there, and they look at it and say, yeah, okay, he hit his head on the ice. It was a force by Eakin to push him and an unfortunate contact with Stastny. This is a 2 minute penalty. Boom. It's over. Nobody complains. Everybody is seeing. Even San Jose, the hardcores of fans in San Jose would see it on TV and say, yeah, that's not a 5 minute major. And they would be fine. So give the referees that tool. Give the referees that tool. I know people are going to say, oh, there's too many replays already. But you know what? The point of having replays now is to make sure that the calls are made that are correct. And when people complain about replays is when there's an offside challenge that we can't tell if it's offside or onside, or if there's goalie interference, and we're like, well, that's clearly goalie interference, and they gave the goal, they counted the goal. So that's when people complain on the challenge and then the video replay, because they think they're given the tool and they still make the wrong decision. But at least give them the tool to make the right decision in a big, important game like that. Vegas is in their second year.
How about this for a tool?
Okay.
How about the Golden Knights penalty kill?
I thought the Toronto Maple Leafs penalty kill was the worst in the first round, but that is bad.
You let them put in four? And doesn't the penalty expire inside the last 2 minutes?
What?
Or is it the whole time?
No, it's a five-minute major. It doesn't expire.
So they put up four. Where's the PK?
Yeah, they were having a problem. Kevin LeBanc had 4 points in 4 minutes and 1 second. A goal and 3 assists. Logan Couture.
Did you see Logan Couture?
So Logan Couture, listen, for all of those here in Buffalo, you may appreciate this. Logan Couture is a huge Buffalo Bills fan. And he lost a couple of chiclets this year already. He took a stick to the face. He took a shot to the groin where he thought he was going to have to go to the hospital, that he may have lost one of his testicles. It was like unreal playoff first round for him. He scores the first goal, and he points at the bench, and he's basically, that's one. That's one. We have this. We have this. And that belief right there is amazing. He takes that shot, and he points at the bench like, we got our first one. Let's go. Well,
look how fast they got it in. I mean, five seconds. That's the one, like right there. When you get it that quickly and you basically still have an entire five-minute power play to your advantage, I mean, your team, of course they're going to believe. Yeah. They're not going to doubt. I mean, when they scored that quickly, you know, Vegas has got to be thinking, oh, this is going to be a long, long penalty kill. This is going to be a long penalty kill.
Well, you give it up then, one, it's fine. When you give up the second one, all of a sudden, you get a little tight.
Yeah, you could definitely see that. What I give Vegas credit for, though, is getting one back late to maintain the composure to after being rattled like that and have a game swing in such a way. You talk about momentum in sports, and I even sent a sarcastic message in our group chat last night just about how it doesn't exist because there's no statistic that measures momentum or culture.
There's no analytics. You said analytics.
Show me the analytics that support culture and momentum or whatever it was, which is obviously sarcasm. But, I mean, this is incredible. For them to be able to go back out and snag one late in under a minute, I think I just can't believe. I think, you know, Peter DeBoer said it best. This would be a game seven that people talk about for so long. I mean, is this not your equivalent to, you know, the comeback game the Bills had or
very, like, I mean, very, very similar.
Like, what are other sports where there's been a comeback like this?
Yankees like down 3-0 to the Red Sox winning in seven. Those are the type of comebacks, but when the Yankees, it's a longer and baseball with different starting pitcher every game, it's different. This is in a game. And listen, I know Vegas and their fans are going to be crying this morning, but think of this. In 2 years now, the Vegas Golden Knights have lived the highest of highs by going to the Stanley Cup Finals, losing in the Stanley Cup Final. But in your first season, you went to the Stanley Cup Finals and you lost, you know, to a really good Washington Capitals team. Really a high note for your first season. And in your second year, where you thought you were cruising past the first round, this happens, and now you're feeling the lows. Like, it is pretty unbelievable to think that in the matter of what, like 12 months, they went from Stanley Cup, you know, finalists to now suffering at the hand of the NHL. That is a pretty significant swing of emotions when you're a Vegas Golden Knights fan base.
Well, let's talk about swing of emotions just over the border. I mean, I think people had high hopes for Game 7, high hopes for the Leafs this year. You signed John Tavares. Mitch Marner has a career year. Auston Matthews, I mean, the story seemed to line up for the Leafs, although the Bruins, I think a lot of people had kind of a toss-up when it came to this series, which is, you know, you look at it, goes seven games. There's one incident that occurred in the Leaf-Bruins game that I just want to ask you about before we even talk about the game, was the Chara punch on John Tavares at the end of the second period. Now, for me, Marty, I know I said it to you when I was walking out of the room. I don't think people understand how big and strong Zdeno Chara is, and this is a headshot. I mean, to one of the game's best players, and you literally punched him right in the jaw. I don't care if it's a left or a right or has his glove on or not. Matt Johnson ended Jeff Bookaboom's career with a sucker punch to his head back in however many years ago that was. This is like it's a blow right to the guy's
Petey,
jaw.
Petey. It's a love tap to John Tavares' side. I get it. It's a punch, but you want to know, in all honesty, I had to rewatch that replay four times to see where was the punch. Because when they were showing it on TV, I'm like, wait, what? Like, I'm not seeing. Where did Chara punch Tavares? Where? And I had to rewatch the replay three or four times. It wasn't a blow to the head.
Are you on here today just to disagree with everything I say?
No, that's why I said I almost pulled in at 9:55 this morning because I did not want to have any pre-show conversation with you. I just wanted to let it all out on the air. Look, how many times do you get what Braden Schenn did to Dustin Byfuglien? What Schenn did to Dustin Byfuglien the other day with five straight punches to the side of the head.
No kidding.
Was way worse.
No question.
Way worse. But that happens every day in the National Hockey League.
I didn't, and I said the same thing for him. I said, "How is that not? Are those not headshots? Like, are those not punches to the head?" So Chara does this too. I'm not looking for him to be tossed for the game, but you know what? Maybe I am, because Tavares leaves. Is he the same player when he comes back?
Yes, he is.
Okay, Marty. Okay. Anyway, is this like a huge meltdown for the Leafs, or do we expect this? I mean, I don't know how to view this. I mean, we know how Toronto fans are viewing this. They're up in arms. Babcock, they want him fired. They want Kadri out of there. You know, who knows what's going to happen.
Gardner's gone.
Yeah,
Willie Nylander gone. They want everybody gone. And it's a meltdown for the franchise right now, the fan base. Twitter was exploding last night after the game. Look, the Boston Bruins were a better team. And you say whatever you want to say. I thought I had picked Boston to move on, which is one of my only predictions that actually has come true in the first round. I'm 2-5 right now in the 7 matchups that have ended. But Boston, to me, was the better team overall. You look at Game 7, 2 goals from the fourth line, Corelli and Nordstrom. A goal from the third line, Marcus Johansson. Like, that is big to have the depth, to have not have to rely on Tavares, Marchand, Pasternak, where the Leafs needed Matthews, needed Tavares, needed Marner. That's who they relied on, and they did not get anything from, you know, in production from the bottom six. Willie Nylander had to play center because Kadri was in there, and Nylander, I don't think, was good at all. It was one of those situations where Patrick Marleau was not on what? Freddie Anderson?
Yeah. Well, he will not be the reason they win or the reason they lose with our
news. He wasn't really.
What?
He gave up a bad goal.
He gave up 2 bad goals.
No, I would even say the second one.
The Corrali wrist shot from the top of the circle. I mean, I don't think that was deflected. I mean, you got to have that.
It's a good shot. The short side. He gave up a bad goal. Short side on Nordstrom. That was a bad goal. And I was, you know, it always seems to go that way. I'll make a prediction and it's going to go 180 degrees on me. But I really think Boston was the better team. So I listened to Mike Babcock's post-game comment, and he said, you know, we played a good game. Up until 2-1, we were playing a good game, and, you know, we were a better team than last season, and we're going in the right direction, and I think he said all the right things. It has to be disappointed because the Leafs were a better team than last season, and the same result happened. A Game 7 loss in Boston that wasn't even close. Last year, they actually were up, and then they had a meltdown. Mm-hmm. So I thought they were closer to winning their series last year against Boston than they were this year.
I really thought when Tavares scored early in the second that it was going to turn around. I really thought this game was going to
become. They had their chances.
Yeah, they did. I thought, regardless of the score being 5-1, I mean, it was 3-1 for, you know, vast majority of that game. Another early goalie pull by Babcock. You know, I mean, you wonder about that, too. I think it was, what, 3 minutes?
No, you had to.
You had to.
And so now people are criticizing, why was Patrick Marleau on the ice? And Babcock basically said, oh, and Babcock loves Patrick Marleau. And Marleau's had a really tough last 25 games of the season, really tough playoffs. And Babcock kept Marleau in the lineup because Marleau is going on this Iron Man streak and has not missed games in forever. So the question was asked, what about the usage of Patrick Marleau and why was he on the ice at the end there when your goalie pulled? And Babcock says, well, because he's, you know, Tavares's group was out and Marleau's part of the Matthews group. So is Matthews, Nylander, who was on the ice with them? I wrote it down. It was Matthews, Nylander, Janssen, and Marleau. So that was their group. The other group is Tavares, Marner, Hyman, and either Kapanen or Tyler Ennis, which Tyler Ennis played well, I thought. But anyway, and then Babcock ended by saying, and he deserves to be on the ice. And he kind of walked out. So there is some friction between Babcock's philosophy with certain players and the fan expectation, maybe even between Kyle Dubas and Mike Babcock. There has been some friction there this season. In the third period, where the Leafs were down to Boston, Austin Matthews played just a little over 6 minutes. That's not enough. Tavares played over nine. Marner played 8.5 in the third period. Matthews played just over 6 minutes. That should have been double-shifted Tavares, double-shifted Matthews. Go down to three lines and use those two center all the time and go back and forth.
Realistically, they're not going to let Babcock go.
But what happened last summer? Remember, Babcock had apparently to go and sit down with Matthews at the end of the year. And I'm telling you, this cannot help the situation when one of your best player only plays 6 minutes in a third period where and a minute 15 of that was on the power play. So he really played only 5 minutes of even strength hockey in the third period. That just can't happen. You know, we'd be here criticizing the Sabres coach if that was, the usage of our players.
You need your horses on the ice.
You need your horses on the ice. You're down a goal, and then you're down two. You got to get them out there.
It's interesting. I mean, people would want to see Babcock fired. I really truly believe that up in Toronto, Kadri's another guy. There's another scapegoat. That's a guy right there.
And that's 2 years in a row that he costs this team.
When he got suspended for the three games, I just remember thinking to myself, they win this series, it's almost like they can say we don't need the discipline. They can move on from him, but because they win without him. Or the undisciplined they don't need, they can win without him. And if they lose this series, it's almost like they can say, you know what? One of our best players, we needed him. We needed him in the third period on that third line because they had playing center there? Kapanen?
Yeah, no, they had the Nylander playing center.
Or Nylander playing center there? They couldn't move Nylander in a tough spot.
They couldn't move Nylander to the Matthews line on the wing, which they've tried a few times when they load up their two lines because they needed Nylander as a center in the third line.
So I think he's gone. I think Kadri's as good as gone this offseason.
I think
there's a lot of teams that would want him, and there's value there too. And
his cap hit is really incredible. But again, the Toronto Maple Leafs, why they lost last night, you can say, well, Babcock didn't really push the pace in the third period and there's issues there. You can point out to Gardner again with a bad giveaway on the second goal. He did a reverse to nobody. And Marcus Johansson picked up the puck and scored. Travis Dermott had a bad giveaway on the first goal. So that pairing struggled a little bit, and they were hurt and, whatnot in overtime, in the playoffs, I mean. But you got a goal from John Tavares, assisted by Tyler Ennis. You have had the firepower all year. We were saying the
Leafs are
going
to score. Last night.
He looked good, but we were saying at the start of the season, how many goals are the Leafs going to score this year? A million. They're going to score a million goals this year. And in a Game 7 in Boston where your life is on the line, your season's on the line, you get one little goal from John Tavares assisted by Tyler Ennis. That, in the end, sums up your season. It sums up your season.
We'll sum up the Leafs season with Jeremy Roenick next. He's going to join us. We'll talk about that outrageous game in San Jose. One reason why the Toronto fans should be happy today. I'll tell you when we return from the break. More of a Canadian... It's a pretty Canadian reason to be happy today to be a Toronto fan. Tell you what that is when we return. WGR 550 and MSG.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.